I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine. But they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Very glad that you are here. We appreciate you. Hope you're enjoying your Friday afternoon. Lovely day out there. Bummer that there's going to be rain on Mother's Day.
Mm.
We always go to this place out in Grand Fork, Illinois, called The Back Porch. It is a stunning place, amazing steak, and I'm so sad because I can't eat. I mean, if I have whatever the portion is that someone serves, like I could have what it is, half it, as in have, put half of it in a to-go box, and then I could probably only eat half of what's left there on a normal plate, but so good. But it's like outside. It seems like there's always storms on Mother's Day.
Mm.
Regardless, we will birthing people ourselves on and celebrate that day. Gabe, so I got a tweet about the conversation we had in the last hour with Diana. You ready for this?
Okay.
So in our conversation with Diana, we were talking about race. We were talking about, it initially started with the conversation surrounding Cori Bush's comments, where she starts talking about the disparity between care that is given to women of color, specifically Black women, in instance of expecting a child versus white people, which is a statistical thing that you can look up and it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes at the end, and right at the end, she says something about Black moms and Black children, and she says Black birthing people, I think is how she says it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everybody has seized upon. So we had a conversation about this, and a caller took issue with something that we said. We had a good conversation about it. But this person tweeted at me, and they called you out, Gabe. So I'm going to give you the opportunity. I don't think you knew that you were going to get, like, attacked today.
It's fun.
It's okay. It's fun. Please come back again. Annie Fry Show, at Annie Fry Show, the caller was right. In her original point, you asked the question about whether Black folks ever had to feign a certain matter of speech to, quote, pander to white people. The obvious answer is yes, literally every day, to even have the right to exist in corporate America. Well, I'm going to interject here and say, I don't think we ever said that that doesn't exist.
No. See, the thing is that, yeah, and I was actually thinking about the context of what we were talking about, right? And the super liberal white people who encounter a Black person, like, for the first time in a social setting, and they're trying to be down, right? So they're talking in the cringy language to try and make their new Black friend comfortable. We know it's coming from a good place, but gosh, it's cringy. Please don't do
it's
that.
It's not
right?
really
right?
making anybody comfortable.
And then you pose the question. Exactly. Nobody's comfortable with that. And then you pose the question, well, what do Black people do? Now, the context is not business. The context is social, right?
Yeah.
So that's what's at top of mind, right? So you imagine now a white person being invited to the barbecue, right?
He's which, like, I will tell you, there are YouTube channels entirely dedicated
the whole thing.
To do that whole thing.
Right. So the thing is, you know, so that's the question, right? So what do black people do to accommodate the white person who's invited to the barbecue? And that's where the joke was. And gosh darn it, I'm tired of having to explain freaking jokes to you people. Because
well, okay.
That ruins comedy. But but again, the whole point was no black people. The black people at the barbecue are not going to change their language to make the white person feel like as though they fit in. They're just going to chill with them and be themselves.
Right.
Right. And that was the whole point. But then the conversation became code switching. Right. Code switching is important in business.
Stop right there. What's code switching?
Code switching is when you change the manner and patterns of your speech in order to conform to the situation where you're in. Sometimes it is social. It's like basically somebody who's from the north and they go live down south for a little while and they pick up a slight southern accent.
Like Hillary Clinton?
Yeah. Well.
Remember when Madonna did that because she lived in England for a while?
Now there is British. There is forced code switching. There is forced code switching, and you hear it sometimes with politicians who show up at a black church.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the forced Joe Biden. Natural code switching is when you slip into these patterns, and it's somewhat natural. It's basically you're trying to identify with the people you're talking to, so you absorb sort of you reflect back to them the sort of pattern that you're speaking, and you know, part of that is natural. Part of it has to be active because you know. I'm an engineer, right? And I was trained as an engineer. I was hired into an engineering firm. I'm going to start talking like the people around me. I'm going to deliberately do that because the people around me who are three or four levels higher than me are three or four levels higher than me, and I want to be in that position. So right. I'm going to do what they're doing. That's just kind of a natural thing. So the issue that I think Diana was bringing up was like, no, black people have to have this special, you know, individual conversation just for black people in order to get along in business. But guess what, black folks? We're not the only ones. And other races don't necessarily have a conversation about it. They don't necessarily sit down and say, okay, now listen. But other people change the way they speak in order to conform to the business of what they're doing. I mean,
I'm thinking, when you're saying this, I'm thinking about the boyfriend and girlfriend where the one has invited the other to meet the family for the first time, and maybe there's a significant socioeconomic difference or regional difference where you are going to try to figure out all the things you feel as though you have to do in order to fit in. And truthfully, in a real and honest and good relationship, and if they care about their son or daughter who's chosen this other person to bring to the family, ideally, they would accept you for who you are because your son or daughter has accepted their significant other for who they are. But you still, regardless of skin color or race, you're still going to feel as though you have to alter who you are when you meet these people because you want to
fit in.
You are assuming that these people want you to be. I mean, there's a lot of assumptions going on.
Everyone who enters a group to which they feel on some level to be an outsider is going to do this.
So
you can't pick up a kid from like the Appalachians in West Virginia and plop them into, let's say, corporate America in New York and not expect them to do the same dang thing.
Yeah. And is it necessary? Should it be done that way? No, not necessarily. But I mean, I suppose that I feel like the barometer should be kindness and compassion, not elitism and snobbiness or whatever it is that we assume that the other people are going to be putting upon. Okay, so that wasn't the end of the tweet.
Okay.
You sitting down? Yeah. I can see you. You're sitting down.
Yeah. I'm
Gabe
ready.
Being black means nothing. As if you're listening and on the radio, Gabe is black. Newsflash. Gabe being black means nothing, as his only role is to be the token black guy in a conservative talk show, to be a blackface to parrot conservative talking points that he immediately tried to parse away how code switching is such a huge part of what it means to even exist as black Americans speaks volumes.
Okay. Speaks volumes. You got to love those. Mm-hmm. It's like, think about that. Mm-hmm. It's like, right. It's the same energy. Mm-hmm. But look, here's the thing that always gets me is that the assumption of tokenism, right? necessarily removes autonomy and agency from the person that you're talking about.
From you.
From me, right? So you're telling me, MIT-educated black man, raised in a black household in the ghetto in New York, made something of himself, bought a house in the suburbs. I don't have autonomy. I don't have actually the rights to the ideas that are coming out of my mouth. I'm simply parroting. I might as well be a puppet. There's a hole somewhere where there's a hand stuck up in there, right? No. You can't say that about me, sir, or madam, whatever the case may be. Z, I don't know what pronouns are going around right now. They. Yeah, you can't tell me that I don't believe what I'm saying. Listen to me very carefully. Every word that comes out of my mouth is produced by my genius level brain. And it's awesome.
I mean, it's I see these comments. I mean, people will make comments towards me, you know, obviously in a different context, but you know, completely and totally dismissing what you're talking about is autonomy. And I'm reading this right here, and what they're saying about you is a very personal and in proximity, very close to me situation, exactly what they did to Tim Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did it to Tim Scott, that really irks me. When they do it to you, that makes me ragey, and I'm pregnant, so you just
careful,
where you are, because I'm coming. Not very fast. I'm not very fast right now.
She'll waddle over in a second.
Yeah. I'm not waddling yet, but I know the time is near. It frustrates me because the insinuation is that puppeteer is me.
Yeah.
And yep. I will say, and Gabe, correct me if I'm wrong, I have never once told you what to say or what not to say. And your brain is what I have always wanted on this show. And I have made that very clear to you personally as a friend.
Oh, yeah.
And if I don't have you on the show because it would look like I have a token black guy on the show.
What does that say?
That's too racist! What am I supposed to do? You know, like, your skin color is not what I'm interested in. It is your brain, which happens to be, as you said, genius level, and you're fun and you're kind and you're a good person. And to me, somebody who wants to come onto my Twitter feed and attack my show, my integrity, your autonomy, and correct you on your talking points with their talking points, They are discounting, literally, this person is discounting everything you were saying because you were black.
Yes. It's called racial determinism. It's when you say, when you believe that the color of your skin is supposed to be determinant about your perspective, your political beliefs, your opinions, all of those things. And when you do not conform to those things, then you are an aberration. There's something wrong with you, or there's another force at work. So the thing is, that's racist. That's the literal definition of racism is built upon racial determination. Racial determinism. Okay, so the thing is, every time someone comes at you from a deterministic, racial deterministic standpoint, they are expressing racism. And I need all of you listening to call them out and say that is racist. I want us to start identifying actual racism in America, because the word has been misused so often that maybe using it correctly might help correct some of this stupidness.
You know, and I hesitate to see, because I look at most of what's on Twitter and it's drivel to me. It's just, it's little people trying to be big tweeters. Mm. And I know how big your tweeter is. It's not that big. When you are going onto Twitter and you're saying,
that's the promo. That's right.
When you are going onto Twitter, I can tell every single time, I promise you. And you're willfully saying these things, it's easy for me to be like, man, you're a disgusting, hateful individual. And I'm sorry that you live in this existence on your own, because this is sad.
Mm-hmm.
But to the point of exactly what you just said, the reason why I bring that up to you, first of all, is because, Gabe, I know you can handle it. And as a friend, I want to give you the respect and dignity that you absolutely walk onto the show with every single time you are here, because you are invited to come here. Gabe can tell me no. Gabe, you can tell me no. Yeah. I don't know if you can tell Katie no. She's pretty.
Well, yeah.
True that.
Katie, be home.
Yeah. You're here because you have something to say. And I have a platform where I can give you that platform so you can say it. And the skin color that you have, it's all yours. Your skin color should never, ever stop you from being able to speak your mind or being able to grow or being able to see things from a different perspective. And if I don't include that perspective here, I mean, I'm here to tell you folks, Gabe's not the only black person I have on my show. Do I need to start introducing them as, well, and our next black guest? I mean, that seems crazy to me. But in the world we're living in right now, the motive behind so much of what politics is right now is that these demographics should precede every conversation because it determines the outcome. Why even have the conversation? Mm-hmm. Why even consider the fact that if it's a white lady, she probably thinks this, this, and this, so we don't really need to hear from her. If it's a black man, he thinks this, this, and this, and this has been his personal experience. We already know that. We don't even need to hear from him. That is as backwards and an incredibly rapid pace as we could possibly go.
Yeah.
And it needs to stop. And yes. Gabe, thank you for answering that because the way you answered that, I didn't even want to interrupt, interject. It's all yours.
Thank you.
It was all yours, Gabe.
Hey. No, but seriously, I mean, it's like they say, well, conservatives are racist. Well, how? Well, look, there's no black people over there. Well, yes, there are. No, those black people are just tokens.
They don't count.
Wait, so this circular logic you've created means that it's not possible.
Yeah.
So it's dumb.
It's ignorant.
And
that's
here's and another thing. Sorry, I'm going off now. But
that's great. But until three.
You know,
four if you talk to Mark Rudin.
You know, there were people who could, you know, legitimately question me at MIT. They were like, you know, why is this guy here? There was an affirmative action program. So then being questioned at as being an affirmative action, employee or hire, but a student, affirmative action student is the same energy as what they do with this whole tokenism thing. It's just like, you know, I earned this. I got here because I'm awesome.
And you
screw
are.
Screw off.
And if you have a problem with that, tweet about it at Annie Fry Show. We'll be back with Ask Me Anything in just a minute. Don't go away. So it's Mother's Day weekend. You guys have any big plans for Mother's Day? Anything exciting or just like run of the mill Mother's Day, turn and burn?
Nothing too exciting. I think we're going to drop off some flowers to my mother-in-law, my mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing drop-offs of flowers because mm-hmm. apparently because my I'll be gone Wednesday because my wife's having a surgery, we have to quarantine, but just certain things like Mother's Day we can still go to work. So
bizarre. Like, so like, weird.
These rules don't make any sense, but we will be dropping off some flowers.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Gabe?
Oh, I think
get off Twitter.
Hey, you caught me. I think we might be traveling. The daughter's up in Chicago, and she can't make it down, so we might just pop up and say hi, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, nice. Fantastic. We like I said, we go to a dinner each year. Other than that, it's kind of the same for my birthday. It was mid-April. I mean, my husband will be like, what do you want to do? He wants to do something so bad. And I mean, I get it. You need to do something, right? For mom.
Sure.
I don't want to do anything. I want to be sedentary and stationary until June 17th or whatever day this baby comes out. Like, I don't have clothes. I have what I basically call my uniform, which is my husband's pants. And I'm not wearing my husband's shirt right now. If you're watching right now, he does not own this pretty rose patterned shirt. But I pretty much, my maternity wardrobe this time around has been my husband's clothes.
My uniform.
And I don't really want to wear that in public.
Uniform.
So I said to my husband last night, I'm like, can you wash my clothes? And he's like, what clothes do you need? I'm like, just pretty much wash the uniforms. That's what I wear every day.
Just wash the uniforms.
Yeah. I don't know that we're going to do a whole lot other than dinner, but I have no idea what I'm even going to wear to dinner. Oh, now I'm stressed out.
Oh, no.
See, this is the problem with this. Being seen in public is just different this time around. Regardless, we'll figure it out. Let's do the Ask Me Anything real quick.
If you have anything to ask me, just go ahead.
I want the truth!
Say it.
Thank you for your honesty.
You can't handle the truth!
And the truth shall set you free!
All right, I'm going to go first this time. What is one political issue that in your lifetime you have gone from one side of the issue drastically to the other side of the issue? Or if you don't have one of those, what is a political issue that you just have absolutely no set opinion on? The way I'm going to answer this is I have no opinion on the legalization of marijuana. I can make really dramatic and good cases for both sides of it, and I don't use it, and I don't care. So I don't... It's like the one thing in my life that I have zero opinion on.
I'll go next. Yeah, I've said this story on air before, but 2015, I was in college, my last year of college, and I found out that Donald Trump was going to be running to be the next president of the United States. And like all of us, we were like, what? And I remember making statuses on Facebook being like, this is the biggest joke that is ever going to happen. Let's all laugh. This is so stupid and dumb. And then, doggone it. I found myself agreeing with some things that Donald Trump said. So I would say he is a person that I slowly, slowly warmed up to.
Acquired taste.
Yes, yes, yes he is. But he is someone that I warmed up to. Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. I'm kind of there too on that one. And oddly enough, the marijuana question was actually one of my things that the thing that immediately popped into my head. Although I can't say the change has been drastic. It started out as a absolutely not. Oh my gosh, what are we thinking? To maybe just give me some.
which is a drastic change for data. You.
Which for me, yeah, exactly. I mean, I come to my conclusions by a lot of evidence usually, and that one was based on basically where I grew up.
When you know? I think about the marijuana conversation and making it legal, the only result that I ever consistently come to is that alcohol should not be legal, and we've tried that. So it's like I can't figure out how in my mind to say alcohol should be as freely available as it is, and say marijuana can't.
Well, we have enzymes to break down alcohol in our bodies. Like it's natural.
See, stop talking science to me. I'm taking into these.
And apparently we've been drinking it for thousands of years. Like they had stills in Egypt.
Oh snap!
Yeah,
is weed new? Egypt. I thought weed was probably
no weed is
as old as the day is long.
Well, the thing is, pharmaceuticals, we'll call them, is basically plants used for, you know, hallucinogenic purposes and things like that have been around too. But even ancient cultures called those things witchcraft. They called them, you know, that was...
Well, maybe I'm okay with witchcraft. Didn't start the second thing and I was going to be okay with that.
Basically, they recognized that there was something different that happened to you when you used those as opposed mm-hmm. to what happened to you when you got drunk.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I'm...
Ryan?
I don't know.
I'm going to say that sometime during the Obama administration, I realized there's a big difference between public sector unions and private unions. And that was
a game
changer.
Your money. That's the difference. It's your taxpayer dollars.
Oh, wait. No one's negotiating on my behalf.
Exactly. Because I think, at least in my brain, we always used to talk about unions as like this monolithic thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. Public sector unions negotiate basically with themselves and use your money to do it. And private sector unions don't. They're a collection of people that are, you know, trying to swing the balance of power back between employer and employee. And to me, that was like a huge, like, oh my gosh, I have to really adjust some positions here. Mm-hmm. So I would say that was a big one for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eye opening. Vicky on Facebook says, I don't care about gay marriage and pot. So
yeah, buddy.
All right. Gabe, what's your question?
I had it, and now it's gone. Pass.
Ryan, you got one?
I do. Okay. When you're in a restaurant, and a waiter or waiter comes by with the crank cheese, and they're going to put cheese on your food.
Oh, crank cheese.
Crank cheese.
Or pepper.
We know what restaurant
crank
this is.
Is there only
unlimited
one?
Soup, salad, and breadsticks. That's what
yep,
I'm thinking.
Yep, that's what I'm thinking.
I think crank cheese sounds like a level of cheese.
Crank cheese.
Yes.
Man, crank. That's some crank cheese.
Yeah!
So, or it could sound like talking about money. You see the crank cheese in my bank account this weekend?
Yo.
It's payday.
Jesus crank. Like
a, what are we answering?
I haven't even gotten it.
He hasn't gotten to the question. We're still
obsessed with
there
cream
a point
cheese.
At which it is socially unacceptable to allow that person to continue to crank the cheese? Or do you have to say stop
no,
at some
they'll
point
stop.
Because yeah.
They'll stop you and then you want more, you have to ask for more. I think there's a socially irresponsible amount to ask for more. But it's on them to stop.
But are you saying, Ryan, like there's a long there's like, okay, say when, and then the person getting the crank cheese
pause?
Is just like
yes.
And you're like, wait, dude, say when. Like, we know you got the crank cheese.
Did you have an incident?
I have an incident every time. And it's always that I want, like, 4 or 5 times as much cheese as they're willing
to
put on.
But you have to say no.
But you, there's a point at which you go, okay, I guess.
There's a star.
They start looking at you like,
there's a Star Wars meme.
You didn't hear me say to say when,
that
right?
I keep thinking
this
of.
This is only
no
a
one
question about your own personal shame.
More!
Well, I wanted to see if anybody shared that shame, and apparently the answer is no.
I do.
Has anyone else here ever gotten to the level of crank cheese shame?
You know, I do like a lot of crank cheese, but I have not felt guilty about
it. I love the fact we keep calling it crank cheese.
I do like, I mean, I don't want it to outweigh the salad.
Brad on YouTube says they don't crank the cheese. That is pepper. Cheese is grated. Brad is correct.
Well, what did they do when they're turning the little, like,
there's a crank on that grater.
They're grating it.
They're crank on that grater.
They crank it.
Okay, they're still cranking it.
Say when.
Yeah.
And I'm
the little
I'm
Jack in the Box is going to pop out of there at some point.
I let them go until they stop. Like, I don't, I never say stop.
Any waiter or waitress would eventually stop.
They stop and they look up and I'm like, okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
I guess that's the shame point is like when the waiter realizes
yes.
how long they've been going and they look up at you and stop.
You've got it. We've
that's
gotten
it.
It. We solved it.
That's
there it.
It
is.
We did it.
I don't think that was the question.
No. It is
you
now.
Said
what
is there
the
an
ex- shame point?
That's
you
the
said
point
there
of
was
shame.
An ex- is there an acceptable amount? And I think the acceptable amount has to do with your own personal shame.
Yeah. Well, no, the acceptable
what are you
amount
willing,
is how much
what?
You get judged for by
yes.
the wait staff.
How much judgment are you willing to exchange for the shame that you will receive, maybe rightfully, maybe wrongfully? How much judgment are you willing to receive in order to get the personally acceptable amount of crank cheese?
Wow.
I love
and
that.
I have a feeling for all four of us, that number is very different.
Hey,
I have a feeling
look,
for me and Gabe and maybe Katie... We'd all expect. We all want more than they're willing to give.
Look, the block
wanting
that they have in that little
is
machine
is different than allowing more.
The block they have in that little machine is about, you know, like 4 inches long, maybe a couple inches deep. I want the whole block.
Me
like
too.
I want them to finish.
Are you entitled to it?
And put it on my
it's like,
entree.
You brought it out with the food. I just need right. you to shred it up for
You're
me.
You're a Democrat.
Like.
More.
Hey, easy.
Government cheese.
Hey, that's how you earn a good tip from me. I'm just saying.
Government cheese.
Is it going to cover the cost of the block of expensive crank cheese?
Yeah, tell me how much.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
I'm hungry.
Yes.
We're
over here.
You got a question?
Katie hungry.
What is an adult problem that no one prepared you for?
Crank cheese.
Crank cheese.
having to let go of good cardboard boxes.
Oh my god. That is a good one.
That's so good.
That is so specific. What is going on in your life right now?
That is such a good one. I can relate.
Well, the thing is I'm trying to clear out my basement so I can actually finish the dang thing, right? And I'm just going through, okay, this is trash, this is trash. And I have this gigantic stack. Like it's the size of a room, okay?
What are you preparing
like,
for?
The end.
No, it's just it's boxes. It's empty boxes.
Are they
it's
folded?
Stacks and stacks. No, they're just they're nested.
They're like blocks.
They're nested boxes, and they're just everywhere. You know,
what
you got
to do
your,
with them.
Oh, they're gone now. I figured it out.
Did it hurt?
I figured it out.
It hurt hard.
What did you figure out? You have to share the solution with us.
Oh, I figured out that I have to let them go.
Yeah. Oh,
that
okay.
that it
just like the
that,
fourth crank of cheese.
It's like I understand. intellectually that saving these boxes may help me in like 6 years when I have just the right amount of things
and
that I want to send.
And you can go buy some new cardboard boxes for like $25.
But the thing is, I get new cardboard boxes all the time. That's why there are so many.
Love them.
I mean, I'm ordering stuff from Amazon. I get Chewy for my pet supplies, right? So delivered to the house. I've got so many boxes. It's fine. It's fine,
Katie,
Gabe. Get rid of them.
What about you?
That buying is much better than renting if you have the funds and the means to do so. That is something that you learn. You only learn when you start renting, and then when you buy your first house, you're like, dang, should have done this a while ago.
Yes.
Invest. I'm going to say the concept of time, the passage of time, because I feel like there are parallel times in my life. It happens concurrently, where time is just racing by, and it's like I'm standing still and everything around me is moving so fast, and I want it to slow down, and I want to harness it. I want to stop it, push the pause button, and just like take that deep breath. And at the same time, there are other things in my life that just feel like they're never going to end. And as an adult, in the midst of all of that, you know, like, you remember waiting for Christmas? Mm-hmm. Christmas, like when somebody first gave you the illusion that Christmas was around the corner, it was an eternity until Christmas would show up. Katie, it's May 7th. Christmas is right around the corner. I tell her this every time we change a month. Like, it will be Christmas before you know it. And then Katie will tell me at the end of November, like, gosh dang it, Annie, you were just telling me it was almost Christmas, and now it's Christmas, and it happened so fast. She's real feisty with me. But, I mean, it's like the amount of time specifically between now and whenever I have this baby, go enter the baby pool at 971talk.com/contest. When now and when I have the baby, this feels like, I feel like I want to Google how to make time go faster, because there's got to be an answer on the internet somewhere to do that. And I can't make time go faster. But in the midst of that, you know, you watch the people around you get older. I have the hardest time with my kids graduating out of a grade. Like when they leave the classroom, I'm going to take the day off to be with them when they're on their last school day in a couple Fridays. When they walk out and they're no longer in fifth grade, and I'm thinking that the next grade is sixth grade, and I'm like, that's not possible. That cannot happen. Stop. Like, everything just halt where it is right now. Stop this moment in time. That is really hard. And I was not prepared for that. I don't think I'll ever be prepared for it. I feel like I want to control it, and I can't.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating.
Amen.
Now, if you develop a video game addiction, time will go really, really fast. Like, you'll just be playing.
Is that the ambient?
All
is that
sudden,
the solution or the?
All of a sudden.
Or ambient.
It's like you start
drug
playing.
Addiction is not
really, and it's all of a sudden. It's like 3 a.m. and you got cheese dust on your fingers and you don't know what happened.
I've been playing a lot of Candy Crush lately while I can't fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
There's been no cheese dust. This is a cheese heavy segment, I have to say. Mm-hmm. Didn't see that coming.
Cheese is the best.
Cheese is good. I have no problems with cheese. I am not as infatuated with it as other folks on the show, but I could see if you're going to be obsessed with something, maybe cheese is the way to go.
Tight.
Get yourself some crank cheese. That's the bottom line here. Quick break. When we come back, Carl Middleman's going to join us with Annie, are you okay? In just a minute. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Carl's in the house, if you can't tell.
This is Carl's jam.
I played this at a hockey game the other night.
Yeah? How'd they do?
They won.
They won.
It was 90s night.
Ugh, this is 90s day on our show. I think yes. We have a lot of 90s music mm-hmm. today.
And we missed the 90s. We did.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the 90s and cheese today. It's very strange how those two things tend to find their way together.
Well, it's Friday. We want to talk about good things.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's true.
Let's do a little Annie, are you okay before we wrap it up?
And now it's time to play Is Annie Okay With This?
All right, Carl.
All right, Annie.
All right, Gabe.
All right.
Speaking Gabe, of the 90s, in the 90s...
All right, guys.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
In the 90s, I had a lower GI issue, so my doctor recommended...
What's happening to this show?
Hey.
Where are we going?
It's context.
Am I okay with this?
No.
It's context.
Well,
it's context.
It's context. I could have just said the sentence I had here, but I'm giving you back... I'm easing you into this.
Okay. This is easing us into it, okay? Uh-huh. Tell us about your lower GI issue, please. Carl.
So my doctor says, you should probably get a bidet. And I've been to Europe, and so I knew what they were. And now, this week, I got my third one.
Hey.
End of story. Annie, are you okay?
Do you need three bidets at one time?
No, no, no. I've had them enough that, you know, you want
to
get rid of them.
Like, doctor.
After 10 years or so, you want to
get a new bidet.
Yes, you get a new bidet.
When so you got upper GI problems like he's got, he's
lower GI. Lower GI.
Annie, are you okay with bidets? And see, I had it before.
Such an inappropriate question.
Some people aren't. And, you know, a year ago, everyone was all about.
Because the toilet paper shortage. The bidet was the
toilet shortage.
I had to wait so long to get the third one because they were all sold out.
This is not Annie, are you okay? This is Carl's getting his issues out there for the world.
No,
this
but
is therapy. I'm charging you for this.
Are you okay with bidets, Annie?
I'm okay with you using a bidet, and I'm okay with me keeping my bidet business to myself.
Okay.
Lipstick on a cat's butt.
I did do a story about that.
Yes, there is a story. It doesn't leave a ring.
Hey, guys, go ahead. Guys, take it easy.
It did on softer material.
My mom was watching.
Hi, Mom. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, fine. She's already said that that's fine. Let's move on.
I have friends that love bidets.
I'm on my third one. I love it.
We know. That's the one thing that has been established.
That's quite clear.
Okay, let's go to the other end then.
What? Your mouth.
Water fountain.
Talk about his head.
That's called a water fountain.
Well, not really. In New Zealand, in Auckland, New Zealand, an artist named Jeff Upson was tired of calling the police and the traffic department to fix the potholes on his street. Mm-hmm. So he took some neon green paint and drew phalluses around them.
Oh, that's fun.
So people would complain and call the traffic department to fix the potholes.
Psychotic or ingenious?
Wow.
I don't know.
Sometimes. Hey. There's an intersection.
And the intersection in front of this guy's house, they fixed the pothole.
Yeah.
But they also called the police on him. And so for defacing, I guess in New Zealand, you can't just draw things.
Can you hear? I mean, like, can you?
Now we can.
I don't think you can.
Police are not prosecuting that kind of crime anymore.
I don't think that that's good legal advice at all.
Modern problems demand modern solutions.
I think the solution to the problem was innovative. Give them credit for creativity, and you got your pothole fixed, and you also got what was coming to you. Kind of okay with the whole story.
He was the hero of the neighborhood.
They didn't deserve.
I can't believe that someone called the cops on him.
Well, he started to put his own stuff on Facebook because he drew more than 100 of them.
Oh, I thought you were going
to
say like his own signature.
Well, how do you feel about bidets?
Besides the one in front of his house, he's like, well, if it worked on this, it'll work on the rest. More than 100 of them.
Wow. So he's the pothole vigilante then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All right, Annie, let's get serious. In the last 2.5 minutes of the show, let's get serious.
Probably a little late for that, but carry on.
The island of Cuba is dealing with the pandemic, and of the 27 coronaviruses vaccine, two of them are from Cuba. 27 world vaccines, two of them are in Cuba because the rest of the world, because of the embargo that the rest of the world has against Cuba, they have to make their own. And so no U.S. or any of our friends,
non-communist loving countries,
they're not allowed to send anything to Cuba because of the sanctions.
But they have free health care. It should be really good.
The UN has asked the United States. Good job, Gabe. The UN has asked the United States to lift sanctions on medical supplies for Cuba to help them with their vaccine and corona problems.
Should have led with this and finished with the
No, because I know what you're going to say on the end. I don't know what you're going to say about this one. I know exactly what you're going to say.
What's the question?
Are you okay with the U.S. lifting medical sanctions on Cuba?
That's such a heavy question, and I want to know.
And you have
1 minute. I defer to Gabe.
Oh, it's my call now. It's like
Gabe. What about the Chinese rocket that's going to fall in my home?
It's going to fall in the Caribbean now. I think.
I thought they didn't know where it was going to land.
They're projecting.
Gabe knows. Gabe knows all of this stuff.
They always knew.
But it is happening this weekend, guys. Be prepared.
They just had to have enough time tracking it to get a
beat on
its trajectory. Yeah, so you can guess. Yeah.
Is it going to kill all the dinosaurs, Gabe?
Not again. No.
Not again.
Although I really would. It would have been a cool flex. Oh, no. Near New Zealand. South Pacific. But
You know where they, you know how they fix the potholes there?
And it all comes back around.
We have the technology. It would have been a cool flex if we shut it down.
I want to see that happen.
Like, get your trash out of here.
Isn't it 10 stories tall?
Yeah, it's
like,
huge.
This is not a tiny thing.
Yeah. It's a main booster on an orbital.
Annie, should we help Cuba?
Rocket system.
she deferred to me. The bidet situation.
I'm okay with lift for COVID for specifically medical stuff. Specifically a COVID vaccine.
Help the people, not the communism.
Yeah.
Maybe to show them a little bit about how anti-communistic countries can benefit them.
Mm-hmm.
Not if the people don't already know that. All right, everybody, thank you. I don't know what just happened in the show. You can podcast it. I wouldn't recommend it. But if you want to, it's on Odyssey.com. Thanks, Carl.
Bye.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.